Joe Connison of Big Lies fame and of the indispensable column in the New York Observer. What is the Wesley Clark effect on the Democrats today?
Well, it depends which Democrat you're talking about, Chris. On the nine other candidates, I would suspect that the effect is one of trepidation, that if Clark catches fire, he will eclipse the rest of them very quickly. Even Howard Dean has to be concerned that the passion that a Clark candidacy could generate would give him very serious competition in Iowa and New Hampshire and in South Carolina. For John Kerry, the military credentials of Clark, you know, will overshadow even his service to the country. And I think for the lower tier candidates are equally daunting of a Clark candidacy, because suddenly he's going to take up all the air in the room.
What's Karl Rove thinking, Joe Connison?
Karl Rove is thinking that the strategy that he enunciated in January of 2002, which is what you could call the national security strategy of the Republican Party, which is to use people's understandable concerns following September 11th about the country's security, that argument that only Republicans can really protect the country is now in serious jeopardy, because suddenly, instead of a guy who went to the Texas Air National Guard and then showed up in a flight suit on a carrier deck, we have a real general running for president. And not just a general, he was a four-star general. He was the supreme commander of NATO. He handled the Southern Command, which is the southern part of the Western Hemisphere. This is somebody with real serious military experience. So it's hard at this point for the Republicans to continue to argue that the Democrats are the mommy party who don't know how to defend America. Mm.
Gary Hart taught me years ago on moments like this to think not about the effect this is going to have, but the effect that this represents. You could say that what Clark's entry says, really, is that George Bush is very seriously vulnerable.
Well, I think that's a very plausible speculation. I mean, not only do we see Bush's vulnerability in the polls, but with Clark having waited so long to make up his mind, I have to think that he was looking at this the way a general might look at a campaign, which is, can we win this with the resources that will be available? And I think as Bush has declined and as the public has grown to question the reasons and the commitment that the country has made in Iraq, that Clark sees an opening for himself now, no question.
Joe Connison, this looks like a Clinton campaign with a very different sort of Arkansas Rhodes Scholar at the center of it. What does it mean that so many of the Clinton Gore staff, brains, and money folk are already in the Clark campaign?
Well, I think one thing you can say about the Clinton people and about Clinton himself was that they like to win. They want to have a candidate who addresses the present situation. And I think with Gore not running, a lot of his people felt free to look around and see that if Clark ran, they'd be interested in him. Also, I think a lot of the Clinton and Gore people know Wes Clark from the last administration.
What's the line on him?
The line on him is very smart, very able, possibly prickly, maybe too egotistical, although that's an odd complaint for somebody who's running for president. You know, there are people who worked with him in the White House and in NATO who found him imperious and difficult. But I've never heard anybody say they didn't respect him or think that he was a man of great integrity. So I think we'll find out whether he can adapt to civilian politics from the kind of different kind of politics that existed in the Pentagon, where he didn't always prevail. I mean, he was basically fired by Clinton's Secretary of Defense, Bill Cohen, over their conflicts in Europe. And
what was that about, other than FaceTime?
Well, I don't, you know, to tell you the truth, I don't know, because I've never interviewed either of them about it, and I don't have any firsthand knowledge of that, but I suspect that there was feeling that Clark was too prominent, he was getting too much FaceTime on TV. There's a famous obscene line where Cohen apparently ordered him to get his blank face off the television, and I think he had some difficulties with some of the other allies in Kosovo over certain issues. But on the other hand, this is a man with a tremendously successful military career. He prevailed in Kosovo. He handled a lot of the diplomacy around that war with great skill. So I think you'll hear both sides about him in the months to come.
Joe Connison, what's the fit here between General Wesley Clark and people-powered Howard Dean? Howard Dean has already offered him, in effect, the vice presidential nomination. Where does that go?
Well, I think if I were Clark, I'd be saying, well, how about you be the vice president and I'll be the president? I mean, there's no plausible reason for Dean to be offering anybody anything right now, since nobody has voted for him yet. I think ultimately, from what I hear, they got along well when they met. They liked each other, and it's not impossible to imagine that one way or the other they would end up on the ticket together. And I think that would be, you know, a substantial ticket either way for the Democrats, although I think from the Republican point of view, they would probably fear a ticket with Clark at the top more because of the military issue.
What does your own heart say, Joe, about the significance of this candidacy?
I was glad he got in, Chris. I watched this and I felt, boy, it's good that he's getting in. You know why?
Why?
Because we've had a situation in politics in America for a while now where people feel, I can't get in, I don't want to run for office, the scrutiny is too awful, the money raising is terrible, you know, there are all these demands on you, it's just, and some of the best people have turned away. And there's just no doubt that Wes Clark, with his record as a Rhodes Scholar, first in his class at West Point, the service he's given for 34 years, is one of the best people we have. So to see him, whether you agree with him or not, or whether you're going to vote for him or not, to see him stand up and say, yes, I think the country needs leadership, and I'm ready to make the sacrifices to provide it, that's an inspiring thing.
Hmm. So President Bush says to Karl Rove, are we in trouble, Karl? What's the answer?
Well, I don't know what their relationship is like. It might be the kind of situation where the underling always tells the boss that everything is fine, or it could be the kind where Rove is the one guy who tells him the truth and says, well, Mr. President, we've got a problem now, because now there's a candidate who trumps us on what I thought was going to be our strategy.
Joe, this is terrific. I'm tickled to have made contact. You're very generous to share a moment with us.
My pleasure.
Joe, thank you so much.
Thanks, Chris.
Bye-bye.
Bye.